right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning and welcome to New Harvest. You may go ahead and be seated. So glad that you're here. Isn't summertime great? Summer evenings, too. I love those. You know what else I love? I love it when people come for the first time to New Harvest. It's a, from my perspective, it's a potential new friend. And if you're visiting with us for the very first time, soon as this service is concluded, you could, when you're heading out into the lobby, just take a left turn, go down to the information counter and say, hey, it's my first time, and they'll give you a little guest packet, we like to call it. It gives you some more information about the church, and we're hoping you'll come and be a part of things in the future. Also, two things to highlight. We're very successful. You know, the deep sea fishing trip that was announced for so every spot was taken, and they went yesterday and maxed out 143 fish. It almost is biblical, the type of response that they had. I think Jesus was off to the side saying, yep, fill it up, over there. So that was great. And we had a very successful CPR class, giving life class, I guess we could even call that, in the gymnasium yesterday. Three things I want to highlight for you, and these are important. If you don't listen to this, if you don't understand what I'm about to say, this could get embarrassing. So what? I don't want you to be embarrassed. Next week, we have our second annual church campout. And if you haven't signed up and you say, oh, I've been meaning to get to that, at the long black counter there in the lobby, you can go and pick up one of those, fill it out, walk down to the information counter that all the first-time visitors are going to go to, and turn that in. It's $20 for a spot. I mean, the whole family in your tent, your motorhome, whatever, $20. But this is the last week here for you. So if you'd like to do that, we would love for you to be a part of that. I was there last year for that. Second, next Sunday, this word could get embarrassing. We're going to have one service here at 10 o'clock next Sunday. One service, 10 o'clock. We know a lot of the church will be at the camp spot still. So we thought, you know what, summertime and service there at the... And there also is a service going on Saturday night out at the camp spot there. And you're sure welcome to go and enjoy that, even if you don't camp overnight. You can go out and enjoy that for the evening. But Sunday morning next week, one service, 10 o'clock. And then, the last but not least, it's the 16th of August is another annual routine. Here we enjoy it, Kaiser Rapids Park. And you know what? They have a brand new playground. I loved it. It was lots of fun. It is a beautiful, big playground. The best playground I've ever actually seen. Took our grandchildren there a few weeks ago. You could bring your grandchildren after the service, go out there and enjoy that. Anyway, we'll have our service out there at 10 o'clock also, baptism. And it's one service. So what I'm trying to say is don't show up here on the 16th of August. It will be what? Embarrassing. We wouldn't want that. Now, I'm not wanting to embarrass you.
As we consider the sacrifice of Jesus, I think it just demands a response, whether that response is confession or thanksgiving. And we just wanted to give each of you a moment here in kind of the simplicity of this, our time together, just to respond in just a simple prayer to Him. Just take a moment now. From Ephesians 2, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, all of us, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That is the promise of Jesus paying it all. We have been brought near.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, this song is so empowering. It reminds us you are a good, good Father, and you are perfect in all of your ways. And it only gives me the strength to follow you still. Lord, I pray that you empower us and that you come into this place and bless us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for all that you've given us. And let us not forget that you are there in everything that we do. Whether it be through our work, our home life, driving down the street, you are always there. And we pray that you give us that constant reminder. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
You can be seated.
So glad to welcome you to New Harvest this morning. I know you're going to be glad that you came with all the different things happening in the summer months, and that you would be able to land here on Sunday morning on July 26th. I know God has something for you. I'm sure of it. And I hope that it's kind of aligned with this song that we just sang, because the message of this song really fits the theme of today. We've been in a series on the sayings of Jesus, and I'm excited to tell you that the saying this morning is could be life-directing. It has the potential of really doing a work in your soul. And so I'm looking forward to just what I get to share with you from God's Word. It was a few weeks ago, almost over a month actually, where we had Father's Day. And, well, Father's Day was a little different at New Harvest, because if you remember, we spoke on, if you don't hate your father and mother more than me, that's an attention getter, isn't it? If you don't hate your, and at first glance, we kind of said, no, that can't be in the Bible. And if it is in the Bible, Jesus sure didn't say it. But it's in the Bible and Jesus said it. And so we had to understand what it means. And that's what we did that morning. In comparison to God, we should hate our parents. But that's how much we should love God. And that was the theme. But I felt like we missed out a little bit on Father's Day, just in a way. And so I just wanted to ask you maybe some things you appreciate about your father. You know why? It's not on very well. How about that? It was loose. Good. All right. That was simple. All right. See, I wanted to ask you just, what are some qualities that you appreciated in your father? Just something like that. I asked this on Wednesday night, so I'm kind of warmed up. So, yeah. Patience. My father was patient. That's a good one. Yes, Raphael. Yes, my father brings food to the table. That's right. And I can resonate with that one. Carol. He gives us hugs. Yeah, a hugging dad. That's cool. Jesse.
Wisdom.
All right. It's neat when you're in the same row with your daddy, you can say something nice. Okay. Yes, Virginia.
A loving
father, you see. Monica.
Guidance.
See these great qualities. David.
Direction.
Yes. Lynette. Say that again.
True.
Reliable. Faithful. True to his word. Kathleen.
He loved my mother.
He loved my mother. That's, see these good qualities. And I know from Wednesday night that maybe not all of you feel as strongly about some of these qualities as have been shared. Let's take a look at this clip to get us right into the theme this morning, Good, Good Father. With your sharing and that little clip, we're right into the theme this morning, an important theme about not just human fathers, but our Heavenly Father. If you'll turn to John chapter 5, we'll get right into it. John chapter 5, starting in verse 16, these words are going to launch us into a better, deeper understanding of God. At least that's my hope. They come from Jesus, of course, as we're in this series on the sayings of Jesus. In verse 16, it begins this way. Jesus had healed someone on the Sabbath. He had done that a few times, as you know. And it says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. And yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And his words continue. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Well, his words go on, but I think that's enough for today. And I want to focus even especially on some of the words that were shared in the beginning of this text. But as I read this, I want you to know that I think that what I'm saying is as amazing as some of the other very strong statements we've learned from Jesus. Ones that really got our attention, like if you don't cut off your hand, well, if you're no, that's not right. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Or if your eye causes you, pluck it out. Or even last week, sell everything you have was the theme of the message. Or the idea, if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father won't forgive you. Those are very compelling. And we hear this and we sort of listen to what Jesus said, and it doesn't seem as compelling, but I want you to know that what he says in these words was like outlandish to the people that heard it. It was like shocking. And you can get a sense of that in verse 18, that they're not really understanding this language that Jesus is using about God. 9 times in the reading that I just gave you, Jesus addresses God as Father. That's it. That's really the theme coming out here. My Father. And this is unique. This isn't like commonplace. The people that are listening to it, the Jewish people, not just the leaders, but all the Jews that are hearing it are kind of like taken back. Father. Now, they might have some recognition of God as Father, but it would be more like Father in heaven. Something to clarify that God was big and that he was like beyond, almost untouchable, not just a mere father kind of idea. And so the Jews don't have very much account or record of God being called Father in the Old Testament. You probably know that. In fact, in the book of Psalms, the worship book of the Jews, the reference to Father is 3 times in 120 chapters, 150 chapters. And Most High God, Almighty, Lord God, King of Glory, all of those are mentioned dozens of times in the book of Psalms, but not Father. So it's not common to them. And they're taken back by it because if you read through the whole Gospel of John, God will be referred as Father by Jesus 122 times. And it's like they had to get this. So they're kind of shocked by this. In fact, they misunderstand him. When he's talking about Father and the way he's talking about Father, they get this idea in verse 18. Look at this. He was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, I don't think Jesus was doing that, really. You would say, well, Jesus is equal to the Father. Okay, I mean, doctrinally. But in this case, I don't think that was his point. His heartbeat was not equality, because we already read from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians that it says that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Philippians 2:6. So when Jesus was on earth, he wasn't prating around, I'm equal to the Father. It wasn't what he was doing in these words, is he was describing the closeness he had with God. Closeness. That was his reasoning, his impetus. It was so important to him to show and to tell how close he was to the Father. And it was on purpose, because he would then give us opportunity to have a similar closeness with the Father. That's the idea. In verse 20, it says, the Father loves the Son. That's the main theme here. The Father loves the Son. Now, I know my dad loves me, and he loves me so much that by a little later today, he'll be listening to this message. So I better be careful what I say, huh? No, my dad's a great dad, but I wasn't very close to him, and we've already admitted this. I mean, I've had 59 years to finally tell him, and we've talked about it several times, and sometimes he'll say I wasn't a very good dad, and I will just kind of go, Dad, you did the best, that kind of thing. But on Wednesday night, when I was asking people about their remembrances of their father, it was 50-50. I mean, it was like some people would say things like you said, and other people didn't have a lot to say about it. Even maybe instead of saying something negative, they didn't say much at all. And because of that, because of my own personal experience and not feeling very close to my dad, I had some responses that I noticed as I was a young adult towards those who were like my boss. I was kind of like going through the bosses that I had, and I kind of moved along quite a bit. I thought, this boss isn't working. But anyway, it was in ministry. Every time my bosses were like in Christian ministry, so they weren't near as bad as I'm giving you the impression. But my first boss in Youth for Christ, he hired me, and that was really cool. But I don't ever remember him actually complimenting me about anything. He wasn't mean at all. He just was kind of like, and that was hard. And then I had a boss, my first church that I served, and this boss was pretty good, but his life was kind of in a shambles, and he went through a divorce, and I thought, rats, this isn't, and so things moved on that way. And then my next boss, the third church I served, you'll get a theme here, was so demanding. I mean, he wanted perfection from me, and I had, come on, lighten up. But he thought the best way to bring out the best in me was to push me right out the door. Anyway, then the next boss I had, fourth boss, I'm not very old yet, my fourth boss in Christian ministry, he was so into what he was doing. He was on the radio, he wrote books, there were 18 pastors. I don't ever think we really even actually talked, so he didn't even know I existed. So, but he was officially my boss. And, well, I finally felt really connected to one particular boss. In fact, I moved all the way from Minneapolis to Oregon to be under this boss. And within 2 years, this boss fell immorally. And now, I know, looking back and reflecting on this, there was something going on in my soul, something incomplete in my soul, something that I wanted to fill up in my soul. And I was looking for it in those men that were my boss, and they disappointed me time and again. But they could never fill the hole in my soul. They didn't have the capacity to do so. And I didn't realize that as a young adult, but I do now. I'm thankful to know that insight. I didn't have any bad bosses, not one bad boss. but they couldn't fill up my soul. And that's why I love these words from Jesus. That's what I think he's getting at. He's talking about something that has great potential for you and me. He's talking about a closeness with, excuse me, the Father God, the closeness that my soul really needs. He's talking about a close and loving father. He's talking about a father that passes on value and gives purpose. He's saying all of those things. Like in verse 22 in the NIV, it says that the father entrusted judgment to the son. Now, don't get lost in the role of being judge. That's an important piece. But the idea is that the father gave over to his son such incredible purpose. He passed on to him the significance of judging the hearts and souls. And then in verse 23, it says, the honor of the Father is passed on to the Son. And these things are amazing. The Father trusts the Son. He values the Son. He believes in the Son. All of these things, friends, are available to you and me because Jesus made access to the Father. So the Father trusts me. The Father believes in me. The Father values me. And when I let that in, guess what that does? That fills my soul. That gives me purpose. I'm going to see my Father in 10 days. I'll be there, Dad. We'll see you soon, Lord willing. And when I go see him, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Because I don't need my dad to be anyone particular. In fact, I have no expectations. I'm going to go. I'm going to share the time together. It's going to be what it is, and it's going to be all good because my soulish need is being met very well by the Father. The Father God, Abba Father, a closeness. The Father has touched my heart, nourished my heart. So I relax around my dad. I enjoy who he is. I let what isn't go because of the Abba Father. Do you see the kind of ministry that Jesus is giving, sharing with us, the kind of truth that he has, that you, whether your earthly father was who you wanted him to be or whatever, that you can have connection with the living God and it will fill your soul. That's what Jesus is telling us. It begins there, but and this connection with Abba Father continues with this truth. Second thing that I notice he says here is my Father is at work. My Father is at work. And when I read that, I have skipped a word that's pretty important in verse 18. Maybe you'll see it here. It's going to be on the screen in a second. My Father is always at work. Always. And that word is like supposed to, you know, have meaning to you. He's always working. He's always present. He's always active. See? Always available. So there's so many scriptures that point to this, but I want you to know right now, right this second, the Father's very active. And he's active for you. And guess what? He's active in those around you. In fact, the Father can be active in every person sitting in this room at once. Ho-ho! That's our God. And he has a Father's heart. And so in like Psalm 121, I like reading Psalm 121 to people because it says that the Lord never sleeps. I don't know. I just like that. The fact is, maybe that's a new idea to you, but he never sleeps. He's 24/7. I wrote that down. It goes like this in verse 8. The Lord watches over your coming and going, both now and forever, forevermore. Active. He's up to something good. He's one step ahead of you. For example, when my son Trevor headed towards a cliff and had a free fall for 25 feet, the Father God was there. Right there. I wasn't there. He was there. And the Father God had arranged it so that Trevor had a backpack on that was cushioned. And he went down 25 feet, and the first thing he hit was not his head, not his legs, but his back on his backpack. And then he tumbled. I wasn't there, but I've gotten the story. And came to a rest on another cliff 20 feet down. Some scrapes, bruises, no broken bones, No brain damage. We've checked it out. And God was there. The scriptures are full of this truth. I want you to know that right now. If you would have a conscientious kind of sense about this reality, like I don't always, is as the psalmist said in 139, you are hemmed in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle at the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Everywhere. This is the message. This is the message in part that he is always at work. He has our best in mind. This means 24/7. Father God's motto is 24/7 for you. Concerned about you, active around you, at work, doing great things. And the invitation that Jesus gives is to experience this closeness and walk with him. What an adventure. Amazing. And so here we go. This is the main message that Jesus is leading to, and the one that I want to leave you with. Here it is. My Father is at work, so join him. That's what Jesus says in John 5. The essence of his words are about him being in step with the Father. And I'd like you to look at verse 19 and 20 again. So much so that I put it on the screen. 19 and 20. Very truly, I tell you. I know I've read these already, but I want you to hear them again. Very truly, I tell you. And that phrase by Jesus is like, I want to say something really important. So listen closely. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes. And he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Now, this is talking about the adventure I want you to, like, grasp, be excited about. The adventure that walking with the Father because of access through Jesus. Now, when I look at this, I see kind of an upside and a downside, but I'll start with the downside. I put this in your notes, but it's not on the screen. The downside, and it's kind of confusing. Jesus says he can do nothing by himself. Isn't that what he says? He can do nothing by himself. Now, do you find that kind of weird or like confusing? I mean, to me, Jesus can do everything. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yeah, I prayed that prayer. But then he says right here, very purposefully, I can do nothing by myself. That's essentially what he's saying. I think that sounds crazy, but here's what he's saying. He tells us, without his connection to the Father, he can do nothing. In fact, his essential identity is based in the fact that he is one with the Father, in communion with the Father, and that he is empowered by the Father. That they're so united. That's what he's saying. And as I read that, this can do nothing. It just kept on going over to can do nothing. I've heard that before. I've read that before. I know exactly where that is. That's about this vine and the branches deal. That's in John 15. I know it. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says something just like it to you and me. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There it is. Like he says it again, but this time he's talking to you and me. We can do nothing without our connection to the Father through Jesus. Nothing. Nothing of value. Nothing. Now, I call that the downside because I live in the downside too often. I'm depending upon Barry and his ingenuity and my agenda and things like that way too often. And that's what I think about. I think about and I'm challenged by. There's no fruit, no fruit downside when I just do it on my own. Nothing happens. Isn't that interesting? Nothing happens of real value. So challenging. But there's an upside. There's an upside here. When I am in step with the Father, when He is leading me, when I empowered by Him, all those kind of things. Guess what the Bible says? I bear fruit. I bear fruit. He causes me to bear fruit. That's what He does. That's an incredible upside, isn't it? There's purpose to life. There's power to live. There's significance in what I'm doing because it has eternal value. I love that. That's the upside to me. Now, but there's a key statement in here, and it, you can't overlook it. It says He can do only what He sees His Father doing. Verse 19 and verse 20. And the Father shows Him all He does. Very important to see what the Father's doing. Do you know what the Father's doing right now? Well, you can. You can know. Really? Really. There's a general way that the Father is going to reveal Himself to you in His ways, and there's a specific way. It's very clear. Honestly, there's a general way. It's called through His Word. Through His Word. Yep. It's not on the screen, but it's in your notes. Through His Word. And His Word is His revelation. The revelation of God. That the way He is, what He cares about, how He wants to lead your life, you can get the general revelation of who God is and what He wants for you in His Word. Isn't that great? But it's not just general. It also has this specific kind of power to it. The specific reality of your life in Christ is that through His Spirit, He's going to reveal things to you. Through His Spirit, He's going to guide you. Through His Spirit, He's going to nudge you. You're going to have a sense about something specific like this. There's a general principle about God. Some of you shared it about your fathers. You know what it is? The Lord is patient. Patient. Not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance or faith. Okay? The Lord is patient. All right? Attentive. Concerned about those that need relationship through Jesus. All right? So, I know that. There you have it. Everywhere I'm going, in a general way, every person I ever meet, the Lord wants them to receive life through faith in Jesus Christ. And to go to every person I ever see. That's a general principle. So you can know that. That can guide your steps. Aha, I know the Father is about caring about people that need relationship with His Son. I know that everywhere I go, every second, every 24/7, that's what God is about. That principle is found in God's Word, right? But what about the Spirit? Well, the Spirit comes alive when I meet a young lady named Sarah. Well, Sarah is a barista at Starbucks. And she gets wind that I do something at a church, and there's a couple other girls there that are maybe helping me in this, what the Father's doing in Sarah's life. But Sarah, one Saturday, asked me, as I'm getting a coffee, she says, "What are you doing today?" "Sarah, I get to officiate at a wedding." "Really? Well, if I ever meet someone, will you do my wedding?" I said, "Sarah, I would love to, especially since both of you probably need to know Jesus." And then I go in there, and she's working Sunday mornings, except this morning. She works Sunday mornings so often. And one time recently, she asked me, okay, she knows now what I do, and she says, "Well, what are you talking on today, Barry?" And I said, "Well, Sarah, this is a more challenging one. You know, if you sin, it says, if your hand sin causes you to sin, cut it off." She looked at me like this. "Well, it isn't as bad as it sounds. It just shows you that you need to do something about your sin. And I'm going to tell people the remedy of their sin. Okay. Well, that didn't go as well. But this morning, I was really looking forward to, because I was going to tell her, you know what I'm going to say, Sarah, today? I'm going to talk about God being our Father and that He loves us and He wants a relationship with us and everything. Where is Sarah this morning? She's sleeping in or something. So anyway, I didn't get to hear that specific. See, you take the general principle that you learn in God's Word. You know He's about it all the time doing it. It's His heart, the Father heart of God. And then you specifically let it be fleshed out in your life as the Spirit of God leads you. It is an adventure. The most exciting life on the globe. Jesus introduces right here to do what the Father's doing. I hope you get that. Now, He says some things in verses 21 to 23, and I don't have that on the screen again for you, but I just want you to know He gives me a little more direction about what this seeing the Father at work and the Father passing on to the Son life-giving things, the Father passing on the Son judgment. And you're thinking, well, that's just specific to Jesus, and maybe so. But I kind of took it that already I'm learning so much about what Jesus and His relationship with the Father means, that my relationship with the Father is like that. And so what the Father passes on to Jesus, life-giving, He passes on to me too. I get to impart life to people, share truth, uplift, stuff that really makes an eternal difference. I get to impart those things, okay? So it says life. But then it says here in verse 22, judgment. What about that? Is that it's entrusted to the Son? Is there anything about that that God has in mind, the Father God has in mind for me? And I think there is. I think that at times I'm to warn people. I'm to talk about the challenges. I'm to talk about the sin that your hand does and cut it off. I have to talk about those things too, and so do you. And so as I think about it, it gives me more direction. I want to be uplifting to people. I want to give life-giving truth to them, just like Jesus does. But I also have to be a person that is honest, direct, sometimes speaking words of warning to them. And I learned that from Jesus. He does both. Isn't that something? You could say the Father God shows through His Son that sometimes we have to have tender love and sometimes we have to have tough love. It's always about love, of course. Says in verse 20, the Father loves the Son. So love is there. It's there, strong and real. But I just thought about that. And then it culminates for me, all this leading to what I already shared. Whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. I love that verse. I know that verse is true for me. I would be hopeless without Jesus in my life. I'd be hopeless. And I've crossed from death to life, and I now am about the life of sharing that with others, helping others, imparting that to others. And that's what Jesus teaches me. And I love this. I want to be close to the Father. He nourishes my soul. I'm filled by the Father. He empowers me. I'm helped by the Father. He's always there. And I want to do what the Father does. That's what I wanted to teach you. That's what Jesus said to me through these words. You know, it was about the time that I was saying yes to serving New Harvest as the pastor, senior pastor. And I was studying something that continues to influence my life. And it's now been out for a while, so maybe you've not heard of it. But it's called Experiencing God. Experiencing God by a guy named Henry Blackaby. And the theme verse for Experiencing God are the verses I just taught you. And Experiencing God, the greatest adventure is the idea that when I'm in communion with God and then I join Him in what He's about in this world, because He's always doing great things, He's always up to something good, that then I have the marvelous adventure of experiencing God and sharing it with others. I know I spent 40 days on experiencing God. And during that time, I was fasting the middle meal of the day, and I was just so I'm so glad for the study this week for me. It reminded me, it stirred up those embers in my life that sometimes with the busyness or routine or whatever have been reignited the adventure. And I was really, honestly, I didn't want to just jump all over Sarah on this Sunday morning, but I was really looking forward to it because I just sensed the Father is working on her heart and I get to be a part of it. And I wanted to share that. Well, there'll be another Sunday morning and she'll probably be there tomorrow morning maybe. And I can tell her what I did talk about. But Monday mornings are crazy at the coffee shop. So I like Sundays because we can actually talk for 3 or 4 minutes, and it's okay. Well, I have something to end with, and for me, this is somewhat of a summary of what I've said, and I want you to just take this with you too, kind of to add on to the truth that I've just shared. I put it in ABC. Here's what I think an adventuresome life could be summarized, for me anyway. Abide. Abide is the first thing, and that's really the word. I think that's the best word in John 15. Abide in the vine. Remain. Stay connected. Fix my thoughts on Jesus. Have a close relationship. Pray without ceasing. Walk in the Spirit. The scriptures are full of encouragement that I would enjoy this closeness with God and that I would experience it as much as possible 24/7. In my life, abide. Abide means 24/7, always. And then believe. Believe. The whole scriptures are pointing people to trust God, to believe, to have faith in Him. And not just for salvation, which is the start, but the daily belief. You see, when I believe something that I read, it stirs my heart when I believe it. If I just read it and I think about it and I go, well, that's an interesting idea, then it doesn't have its effect. But when I believe it, it stirs into my heart. It's this idea that I see. Faith helps me to see God at work. It helps me to believe the possibilities. You know what I mean? Believe. Faith alive. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So faith in your life, believing Him. And then commit your way to Him. Commit your way to Him. Obeying, following, hearing His voice, doing what He says. This little acronym ABC is a summary of a daily life of adventure. Abiding in Him, believing what He's about and the possibilities, and committing my way to Him. Will the worship team come? I have a scripture for you. I love this scripture. I share it on Wednesday nights quite often. We pray through this scripture. I think the scripture summarizes what I've been trying to say as well with ABCs. Look at this. Psalm 37, verses 3 to 6. Just take this in. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. One translation says, feed faithfulness. Feed the faithfulness of your life. Feed, the idea is enjoy closeness. Remain connected. As God is faithful, be faithful. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. I invite you to the greatest adventure on the globe as a follower of Jesus Christ, walking in step with the Spirit of God, making a difference in this world until you breathe your last breath. Nothing is more exciting than this. Do I have an amen? Pray. Lord, as we close our service and as we acknowledge our need for You and our worship You, Lord, that we couldn't even praise You. There would be no way, nothing would happen, but it's because of You, the bridge You've made through Your Son, that we come and express praise and are thankful and are empowered. and look at life with hope, and we can impart hope to others. All these things are because of you. So may we be renewed in our hearts today, renewed to be close to you, be filled by you, to walk with you, and to do what you do. May this happen in an increased way for each one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.